All right, we are here and ready to address any questions that you may have about this topic. And so, Daniel, where shall we begin?
Okay, so first of all, from Helen, with the coronavirus, many physical meetings are no longer happening where I would normally market myself. Conferences and meetings are moving to online platforms like Zoom that are not as effective as a face-to-face contact for meeting new people. Is this a time for pausing? I haven't been making any money in my normal channel. Should I still focus on the old channel in the short term or move into a new channel that I think will take 6 months to build up?
All right. Well, one of the things we were suggesting at the very beginning of this seminar is to choose a channel where you already have something coming through to work on. So we would suggest that if the channels you have been using are closed or there's not a way to get them going, and you don't have new channels yet, then you're pretty much in limbo. What we would suggest is that this is a time for pause for you to go and find your true motivation and find what it is you really want in your heart. But as you're doing that, we would recommend that you start setting up ways to connect with people and networks that you have actually worked with in the past, but to do it in a way to figure out how to do more of it like online, how to connect with groups online. Start exploring that, because one of the impacts of this coronavirus outbreak is that people are so reluctant to be in social space with a lot of other people that there's going to be even more flourishing meetings and work done online. What companies have been thinking of, like, okay, all right, you can work from home now. They're going to discover you can always work from home. It's like there's just more and more ways to even run programs, to do projects, and everything is shifting to online. So even if that doesn't bring more business from your older contacts and your old network, by setting that up and thinking up that kind of patterning and putting yourself in a way, learning and thinking about and planning and designing and imagining how to work what you have been doing more online than ever before, and learning how to do that and figuring out how to do that and figuring out how to convince, you know, companies that you can do that, that it is workable to do it all online, even if the people at the company don't go to a central office and they're working online. How can all of this be coordinated online? And if you can plug into that, you can get at the bottom of a really exploding new way of business and can kind of lead the curve there. Even if you don't want to go back and deal with the people of your past or so forth, just doing this, though, and utilizing the channel or the connections or the network that you have will give your discovery of how to work online much more presence, much more grab. You know, you'll be able to get more feedback. You'll start seeing something happen. You'll be able to move something. There'll something happens, and we don't know quite what that is, but that'll probably be magic. And when that happens, you'll realize that you've already set up a whole situation, a whole criterion, which you can somehow or another, in your imagination and in your creativity, figure out how to open up the new channel using this online system that you're putting together. If that doesn't work, it still means, though, that the work you put into this is going to show up. It's part of your gift. It's giving into your world, giving of yourself, setting yourself more on an online expert situation, and so on. You're setting yourself up for something in the future, and it's not going to be lost. Even if the form that you would like for it to take cannot manifest, other forms will appear, other possibilities will appear. But yes, in the midst of doing all of that, there is a pause for you spiritually, emotionally, and personally to say, okay, I'm reassessing, and this is the time for me to find my path with the heart. What's really fun? Yes, you can work on business, but at the same time, thinking about your long-range future. Yeah, you have to think about money. Everybody does. Everybody has to figure out, okay, how can we get the money coming in? How can we kind of establish it? How can we do it? But what you're really tuning into is, you know, what is my soul calling me to do? What is my heart calling me to do? And it may not be something related that you can perceive that can bring money to you. It may be something, maybe it's time for you to write that book. Maybe it's time for you to go sit in the woods and write poetry. Maybe it's a time for you to go swim with the dolphins. Maybe you need to do something. There's something that's calling you. Maybe it's just simply to review your life, to reassess, to heal things, to heal the past, to remove the impacts of traumas, and just to bring yourself to a state of peace. Whatever it is, your soul is calling you to do that, and that's putting you into this in-between space, right? So everyone at some point in their spiritual journey will find them in this in-between space. Now, one of the dangers for spiritual people is that when you're in your in-between space, it indicates that you've outgrown something. You've grown beyond something. And sometimes when you grow beyond your work, what you've been doing, it kind of drops out, and you're in this in-between. It doesn't mean that what you've been doing is wrong. Okay? But what happens for spiritual peoples very often is that you go through a big growth curve. You get into a new place. Your self-image is expanding. You're this new person, and you're a little disoriented. You're not quite sure where you're going. And you dissociate more from the collective than before. It's really hard for a spiritual person to stay engaged in the collective. It's just tough because the whole foundational belief system in the collective is an either-or. Either you're spiritual or you're material. It's like duality, this whole duality thing. And while we understand it takes duality in order to actually create and manifest in the physical plane, you've got to have the egg and the sperm. You can't just, you know, some species don't even need both, but you do. And you need the masculine energy, and you need the feminine energy, and you need daylight, and you need nighttime. You need the black and the white. So it's one of the things to find in the middle of all of this is that you want to blend your spirituality with who you are as you engage in the world, and when you go to a new level of yourself, very often the world drops out. So we would suggest for you that you do what you need to do to reconnect to the world, to re-engage. Open up communications. Start communicating with people. Email, phone, Skype, FaceTime, whatever you need to do. Just get out there. Just start connecting, opening up to people. Stay connected to the consensus while you are in your pause of assessing, while you're searching for what you are. It's not that you need to push the world away and go say, oh, my soul wants me to do this journey into the wilderness. And it may be your own personal wilderness, but inside your psyche. But the point is you've got to stay connected to the collective, or you generally do not find your way into manifestations. even if you don't know what you want to manifest specifically, you need to stay connected to the collective so that as you dream it, as you imagine it, as you can see what it is that you want and how you want to go about things in your life, you can see them blended. You don't see them separate. You see your spirituality and you see your soul experience and your heart's cravings and desires, and you see the world and you see the engagement and you see the people in your life. You see the actions that you take there, and keep them together. It still is a pause, but it's not a pause away from. It's a pause in between and amongst. Okay? That's what we would suggest.
Hi. I realize my true my motivation for a very long time is to avoid being poor. Mm-hmm. Now I'm aware of it. I just have a really hard time to flip it to the other side, to like really enjoy true wealth and prosperity. So can mm-hmm. you help me with that?
All right. Okay. Well, it's a very, very good question to follow the first one, because we were talking about the extremes, you know, the black and the white, good, bad, you know, light, dark, whatever. And so what you have there is that you have a terrible fear of being poor, okay? And this fear of being poor has been a motivator to drive you to work, to drive you towards trying to make money, all right? But of course, as you've heard us say, not just in this seminar, but in the previous one and the previous one to that, that type of motivation does not bring you prosperity. It is a scarcity paradigm. And so you're running away from something. You're pushing something away. Now, your subconscious mind, which is that which maintains consistency in your life, the subconscious mind has you associating money with fear. And it's not that you really fear money itself. You fear the lack of money. But the subconscious sees the lack of money and money as being money, okay, because the issue is around money. So the subconscious says, okay, you have this fear that surrounds money. And so, therefore, what are you going to do? You're going to we're going to motivate you falsely out of fear of what horrible thing could happen if you run out of money, the terrible fear of loss, and scarcity consciousness, of course, puts you into scarcity consciousness. So your inner slave driver. And we've talked about that in your true motivation seminar. So if you have most people have a very rabid slave driver, and it's installed generally in your 20s. And it can whip you and chain you to tremendous suffering all your life. And you still think that you haven't done enough, you haven't been enough, you got to try harder, you got to try more, you got to do more. Oh my gosh, it's like it's never, never, never enough. And if you attach it then to fears of and running from, then you've got the slave driver is trying to force you to make money out of the fear of not having money. And so your slave driver can be relentless. And it can ruin your health. It can ruin your energy field, your energy, your stamina, and get you sidetracked away from what your heart desires, what your soul desires, what really feeds you and thrives you. All right. So with that being aware, so the first thing we would say for you is to fire your inner slave driver. And for those of you who are not acquainted with the slave driver that much, we suggest that you watch our seminar, Your True Motivation, because we go in there, we clear out the slave driver and give you your power back, and you take it back, and you can see how to make your motivations. The second thing is that also you need to forgive yourself, because you've basically judged yourself harshly on this one, and you've seen yourself as being inadequate, undeserving, and you've been kind of shamed yourself, you kind of kicked yourself, and so on, for not doing good enough to keep away from poverty, keep the wolf from the door, and so on. And so your fear of survival attracts to you, has attracted to you, a low bottom line. It kind of it keeps scaring you with homelessness or tremendous poverty and struggle and so on and so on. And so you're always scrambling to get ahead of that. But you, frankly, energetically, even physically, you can't ever get ahead of that one. You have to let it go. But you have to also forgive yourself for having held on to it for so long. Because if you can let it go, but then you thinking, well, I'm just such a schmuck because I kept doing this for years and years and years, and something's wrong with me. No, not at all. Just have that. We talk about love and compassion. Have that love and compassion for yourself, starting with you, and like forgive yourself for it and recognize, okay, that's what I did. That was my strategy. It was I'm going to run away from that poverty because the fear that I had is if I was poor, that all these horrible things would happen. So what is it exactly that would be so horrible if you were poor? So what we would suggest that you do is that you get a pad, notepad and pen, or if you can think really well on the computer, and just put together a list of all the horrible things that you would experience being poor. If you didn't have enough money, what would go on? Oh, what was all those horrible things? What are they? And really write them down. Get them all, okay? There may be only 3 or 4 things. There may be 20. We don't know, but write them all down, okay? And then look at them and say, okay, what are the emotional energies associated with that poverty, with each one of those aspects of poverty, like being evicted from your apartment or whatever, you know, saying being evicted from your apartment. Oh, that would be horrible because you'd be on the street. Where would you put your stuff? You'd have to sleep in your car, et cetera, et cetera. And, okay, so what would be the emotional state that would go with that? Would it be despair? Would it be rage? Would it be feeling apprehensive, continuously fear of that you're going to be victimized? What emotions come with that? Write all the emotions down for all of them. You'll find that they overlap a lot. It's a lot of the same emotions, but write it down. Be as precise as you can be, okay? And write all these negative emotional states down. And then go down the list of the negative emotional states and forgive yourself for fearing each one, for all those emotional states, because all those emotional states are not real. You're using them to build the fear that is supposed to motivate you to work hard, make money, and get some wealth, okay? They're the tools of the inner slave driver to keep you from being lazy, okay? Okay, we've got to get you really scared shitless here so that you'll get up off your ass and you'll work hard. Now, in your family, in your family up through the ancestors, there's probably plenty of people who have worked hard. Worked hard for the money, or maybe slaved for the money. Really worked, and maybe they didn't really get that far away from poverty. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But you can see how much charge, how much significance they gave to money. All right, so you made money. You picked that up. You made money really, really important. Okay, so the next thing we would suggest you do is after you forgive yourself for that, you need to take the charge off of money. Money is an illusion. You need to think about it. Money is just made up. It's an idea, okay? It's not something tangible, really, that you can put your hands on. even dollar bills are just notes that represent money. Okay? So just recognize that it's all illusion, and there's no way to control this illusion. So we would recommend that you go back to the first part one of this series and keep cleaning out your relationship with money, because you have used money to motivate yourself. Okay? And forgiving yourself. And maybe you're angry. Maybe you're angry because you were trained to feel this way. That it would have been so humiliating for you to be poor. That your parents would and family would be so ashamed of you if you were poor, etc., etc. Maybe it's all tied in to you being part of this social structure of your family, of your friends, of your community. Okay. So you've made money too big of a deal. All right. So we would suggest that you go and you let go of all of this stuff about money. But just like in question one, we suggest, dear one, that you go and do spend some time thinking about, well, if you had all the money that you needed, that you had no money worries whatsoever, and you feel totally safe and totally secure financially. Not that you can imagine that, because you've got money and financial security all loop-de-looped in fear, but just imagine it. Start imagining, what would that feel like? What emotions would I feel if I was financially secure? What would my life be like? Now, don't go and in your mind win the lottery and go into a fantasy. This is about really feeling what the reality would be for you, okay? To really imagine, what would it be to be wealthy? What would it be to have enough money that you didn't even have to think about it? You wake up in the morning, what do you want to think about? What do you want to do today? What would you like to do? Now, we're not saying to do nothing, although you may want to do nothing periodically here and there, but overall, what we're suggesting, though, is what does your heart want you to do? What does your soul call you to be interested in, to learn about, to have curiosity about, to want to experience, to want to do something about? Start getting in touch with the part of you that got lost, because the whole deal with money became such a big program of pressure and demand on you. Right? So if you can stop the slave driver and stop motivating yourself from fear of poverty, and then you can also see what those fears really are, then you can, we have a love and healing program on releasing fear. So go release fear. Do the meditation on that. Listen to the talk. Do the meditation. Learn how to release fear. And learn how to see yourself as distinct from fear. Just as we were saying, when negative emotions show up, you know, stop. Separate yourself from them. You are not them. They are not you. They are not automatically you. You are not naturally and automatically them. Okay, they are limiting emotions. Okay. Once you separate, then you can process them. You can choose. Oh, this is a fear. It has never happened. I'm still in fear of this, and it's never happened. I'm fear that someone would judge me this way or that way because I was poor, and it never happened. I never had anybody judge me that way. Whatever it is, recognize that these are just fears. And, the acronym, fear as an acronym, is false evidence appearing real. You know, you don't want to make fears real. You did, and your slave driver has used it against you to motivate you and get yourself up off your ass and get yourself going, and has cracked a whip over you. But when you let go of the slave driver, what are you going to do to motivate yourself? You're going to talk to your soul, talk to your higher self, get yourself reoriented to you, Now, you'll still need to do something about money. But if you can do this process, you can then make choices about money that are more mature and that can reflect your truth. And when you do choices like that, even if you have a job right now, and there's not really any way for you to make more money at the job, maybe there's not any way for you to get a raise or to go up a level or so in the company or something, even if it's just a job, okay. Do that job not because you have to run away from poverty, not because you're desperate, not because you don't deserve to have money, not because you're unworthy, not because you're powerless and you have to work so hard at something that maybe even you don't necessarily want to do all the time. Give yourself a kind of emotional break about it so that in your job, you go to your job and say, okay, I know that this job is temporary because all things are temporary. This job is temporary because I am becoming more luminous. I am becoming more powerful and I am attracting more abundance now. And you're doing it as a growth choice and not the fear choice. Now, that fear choice probably came down to you through your family. And so it's not to dishonor your family at all that you make a difference in choice. What you're doing, though, is that you, like a lot of other conscious people, many of whom are watching right now or listening to us, are evolving to a place to where you're working on the collective as well as on your individual stuff. So when you are making a new choice that I choose to work as an empowered light being and not out of fear, but out of choice. And I'm grateful that I have this job that gives me enough money to survive. And I'm grateful that I am surviving okay and blah, blah, blah. And you get into this kind of good space, okay, and you forgive yourself for having held on to bad spaces. What you'll find is that over time, you will, not only will you change, but in a sense, you are also lifting your family. You are lifting the collective. You are lifting the world. You're giving another map there, another possibility, another way. So this is a huge, pivotal issue for you, and we're so glad that you're willing to address it, but that's what we would suggest. This could turn your life around into one of joy to where you don't have to think about money, where in the sense where you don't have to fear it, where you can start to trust it's going to be there. Don't worry about it. Now let's get on with the business of doing what we want. You understand? All right, dear one. Thank you for that question. Very good.
So this is from Steve, and Sandra also comments on that. Can you do the 7 steps when you are not in crisis as an expansion exercise to start your day as a way to expand your bottom line? And so Sandra says, I love Steve's question. I myself found part one very clear. So as of right now, I have no question, and I'm just grateful to be here. I found so much of this very, very helpful. An affirmation validation that I'm on the right track with all the work I've been doing lately.
Fantastic. All right. Okay, and yes, we can suggest that. That's a wonderful way to get yourself into your power, into your state of energy, into your connection. And if you can do that, these kind of steps, what you would do it if you're not in a test, okay? If you're not experiencing the test, then what we would say is that you can start at number 3, where you acknowledge you're in your power and your choice. You start there, and you go from there all through the end. All right? And actually, there are more than 7 steps. The Dear Channel had to tweak this several times, and it's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There was actually 8 steps. one, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah, there's eight steps there. So you start at the third one, acknowledge you're in your power, right? And then you expand your self-image. Then it's and then acknowledge it's all going according to plan. And then call in the egregor money and the future self and feel their support. Get into the trust. Then see your future self in their expanded level. Step in, claim, own. And then shine your light and expand your resonance. Send that light out into the world with love and compassion. And send it out. And like in the part two where you send it out through the channels and then you breathe it back through the channels, send it out, breathe it back, send it out. You can breathe it out, breathe it in. You can do it like with a breath. You can do it in your mind and that kind of thing. And this can give you a bit more connection so you can stay in connection with the consensus reality, so you can stay connected with your egregor and with the spirit of money. So, yeah, you do it every day. You see, it's like what we were talking about earlier when we were talking about set your mind to it. This is basically also the 16-step pieces of manifestation, but they're just done in a slightly different way. But we also talked about programming your brain for success and seeing yourself in the future being that person, being that individual that you want to be, being and you can substitute that for steps 1, 2, and 3, or 1 and 2, and use your imagination and be step and just look at what it is you want and see it and imagine it happening and imagine people talking to you and people saying, here, and people giving you things, you being able to ask people giving you things, beautiful ideas, beautiful dreams and visions. Put those in at the beginning of your day. Feel the gratitude. Pump up your brain. Feel the gratitude. Feel the power, you see. And then as you do that, then you can get into this number 3 and do this throughout your day. And if you spend like, maybe about 5-10 minutes on this, once you get it going, it's be easy. You learn how to move into those states like so and so on. Then you don't have to be yelling, stop, you know, unless you have a worry, unless you have a fear. If you have a fear, then stay stop and then do it from that point of view. But if you can have a program of what it is that you really want and how you want it to play out in your imagination, and with complete with emotions, you know, it's like when you're making a movie, you don't just, you know, make a visual image. You've got to have sound in it. You've got to have interactions with people. You've got to have the background, the set. You've got to have, and in the plot, you've got to have context. You've got to have backstory. You've got to have the personalities, the characters. There's a lot that goes into creation of that reality that people watch and get into that reality that is that movie. So whatever you can do about getting into your own movie, creating your own movie, so to speak, the movie of being there, what is the set and setting, who are the characters, what does it feel like, you know, you can even use all your senses, what does it smell like, taste like, what does it sound like, see, what does it see like, what's the texture of it, get into all your senses and use your imagination to make that real. All right, now we talk about that a lot more in the Manifestation Made Easy. But if you get into doing some kind of program every day, you'll find that, especially if you do it at the beginning of the day, it kind of sets a resonance for the day. And then when you start falling out of your resonance, it's very easy and very fast to see. And so sometimes all you'll then have to do is say, stop! And because you've done the other steps, you go, I'm in my power. This is just my limbic brain chattering away, just my fight or flight or stress response. And I'm just, that's just mind talk. And I let it go, and I expand my self-image, and And I can see that the egregor and money are there, but the reality is supporting me. Okay, and I see where I'm going. I'm becoming this greater and more luminous self. So you can kind of like blend them all in and just make a kind of a flow process that happens anytime a negative thought occurs during your day. Once you get into this after a while, you'll find you have no negative thoughts during your day. When you start getting to a place where you go for days without a single limiting negative thought and no old narrative reappearing and restating itself, you'll feel in the flow. You'll feel the magic. It's quite amazing. This gets you right back in the magic. This becomes a momentum, as we were saying. Lifts your bottom line financially, but it also lifts your bottom line energetically. It lifts your bottom line as far as your identity, as far as your image is concerned, as far as your capacity. Now, you can do this for manifesting and materializing things other than money. We're talking about money in particular, because money seems to be, people think that's the hardest thing to manifest, but we would say probably the hardest thing to manifest is physical healing, because that's been given over to doctors, and the power to physically heal yourself for the most part has been given away. And money tends to be in the hands of the egregor, and it's you have to get the favor of the egregor to receive your money and all that. So it's been a little power play and that kind of thing. So people tend to feel that money is really so hard, so tricky, so elusive. But, you know, when you're a spiritual person and you're not connected into the collective, it is hard for you to find the channels to receive money through, just because the collective may not acknowledge your favorite channel. Maybe your favorite channel to bring in money is like what the one who channels us. You know, that's her favorite channel for bringing in income. All right, but is how many channels or mediums or whatever hit the big time on the planet and rake in the big bucks? The consensus none always, you know, give spiritual people, you know, a lot of income unless they stand forth and demand it, right? So think about it. You don't have to be world known in order to be wealthy. It could, of course, it helps. Celebrity status tends to help you maneuver into situations where you make more money. But those are people who are willing to be seen. Those are people who are willing to be part of the collective. It's a little harder for spiritual people to do that, but they can. You can, if that's what really feels thrilling for you is to be up in front of thousands of people. You can, okay? But what you want is the feeling, the state of being in front of thousands of people, the state of being of being loved and supported and nurtured by your reality. And then you want to be able to interact with it freely without feeling uncomfortable, feeling you're on the fringe, feeling judged or judging it or whatever. And so this type of energy resonance setting does require also that you stay plugged in to actual activity of doing and communicating with the egregor, because you'll bring in the egregor and you want to feel that connection and appreciate the consensus, but you will also, you don't want to do it instead of being out in the consensus, okay? All right, so thank you for bringing that up. If you train yourself, if you commit yourself to doing a certain amount of it and doing it several times even during the day, remembering who you are, it makes a huge difference in the momentum of your life and bringing to you all the prosperity and abundance that enables your spirit and soul to soar. Thank you for that.
Valerie says, "Hi, Galexis. Is the current market downturn a test for those who are working with the egregor?"
If the market goes up, it's a test. If the market goes down, it's a test. It depends on the person, all right? If you start feeling really scared that the market is going down and crashing, and you feel worried and worried, it would be really helpful for you to keep reminding yourself you're going to be okay. It's all going according to plan. It's all going to turn out well. You have the support. Don't worry. It's sometimes situations that trigger and create fear in you are actually ways for you to, that are given to you as opportunities for you to wake up. And if you can wake up and say, oh, look what I was just doing. I was getting small there. I was shrinking down. I was starting to get in my, wanting to run in my little box and hide from the fear and hide from the big world that's scary and is going to come after my money and my possessions and me. Oh, my. So if you tap into what that fear is, then you can clear it out of yourself. When you clear it out of yourself, you're also helping clear it out of the world, okay? Because there's not that many people who can stay steady when things like that happen. It's people who have a lot of reserves can handle it when that happens, and people who rely on the universe to support them because they know magic. They know how to shine their light. They know how to hold their resonance. It's the key, as we always say, is holding your resonance. You got to keep your resonance up there. And so if you find fear, process the fear, process it, and get your resonance back up there. And now, do you imagine that the markets go back up? If you want to. But the major point is just to get your resonance up regardless of what goes on in your external environment. You don't want to give the power of reality to the world outside of you, because the real truth of your reality exists within you. It exists within your emotional, spiritual state of being. So if you are in a good state, you'll handle it all okay. It'll work out okay for you. It's just going to go according to plan. And part of the plan sometimes is to scare you so that you wake up and, oh, I'm going to choose differently. And voila, you got the lesson. You got the test. Passed it. Yay. All right. So now you're ready to go on and go to higher levels and to stay connected with the collective and at the same time be able to be okay with time. These three things. If you can't get these three things going, the resonance, the connection with the collective, and healthy relationship with time, a magical, metaphysical relationship with time, you're going to have problems. But you see, you're a spiritual person, your job in a way, your choice, when you came down at this particular time on the planet, as an evolved spiritual being, some of you haven't had lifetimes in so long, it's kind of like, well, it's kind of strange to be physical, but okay. But you decided to come here because it was such a fabulous creative opportunity to create the new world, and you wanted to participate. So, yeah, you're going to experience some destruction and chaos of the old world happening. You're going to see things falling into disarray. But how are you going to hold yourself in that resonance? How are you going to create success for yourself during all the chaos out there? Is that you hold your resonance and knowledge of who you are in here. And it's like, you know, like you have a conversation online and there's a thread. It's a theme. And you follow that theme and you discuss it, you know, and explore it and so on. When you move from the old reality to the new reality, or from a destructive place to a more constructive place, when from an old place to a creative place, to a new place, to a higher place, okay? When you do that, okay, what gets you from the old place to the new place, from the lower place to the high place, is a thread. There's a thread. There's a theme. What is the theme? The theme is, who are you? if you keep yourself oriented towards yourself, knowing you're on your spiritual path and you're a creator, reality creator, yes, you're creating all the craziness out there in the world. Yes, yes, you are. But you're also creating the solutions and the answers out there in the world, too. You're starting with yourself. It's like you take responsibility for creating your resonance. It gradually expands from you and starts taking in people at work, your friends, your family. It extends into your community, extends into your world. And so some of that thread, some of that light, some of that essence is who you are, that spiritual being who you are, celebrating your divine nature in the physical plane. Will touch all the people on the planet. It will touch everybody. Your gift, your love and compassion, your gift to the planet. But when you stay holding the resonance of you, this thread takes you through whatever dark and chaotic times there may exist. It will take you through them all. It'll be fine. And some of these dark pieces, some of the chaos can be horrendously painful, tremendously disturbing, destructive. And you may even somehow or another feel you're losing your bottom line. But you've got to trust. You've got to trust. This is part of your process. Life is can be fragile. Life can be a lot of suffering. There's a lot of separation from the divine. You're reconnecting. You're reconnecting with the divine. And when you connect with the collective, you're allowing the collective to see a connected person to the divine in you. You're letting them see you. And you become a beacon of inspiration and light. Maybe not directly, maybe you don't stand in front of people and say, here, have some love and healing. Maybe you don't do it physically so much, but by your very actions as a light being, you are enabling other people to catch that light so that they can build their thread, so they can make it through there. And you can dream it for them too. You can dream them awake. You can imagine people waking up everywhere. You can imagine people rising up and claiming their power and their love and their destinies. You can imagine it. Don't let yourself get beset by the incredible amount of depression and frustration and pain that so much destructive mayhem is creating on the planet for people. Yeah, there are people in government who are doing dastardly, horrible things to their people. It's atrocious. It's atrocious. Dictators and strong men people who just, you know, run government as their own personal vehicle, you know, with disregard to other people. The most important aspect, we would say, of a good leader would be love and compassion. And their leadership to hold a resonance. It would be really wonderful if you could have a U.S. president, for example, or a prime minister or a president of any country who could hold this resonance of love and compassion. But that's what you can dream. And we do suggest you do that because it'll help the world. It'll help the markets. It'll help everybody. The markets right now respond to an old concept of what success and money is. And it's going to take a while to get to the new one, to one in which money is balanced and not the end-all and be-all of existence. You know, you're being run by people for whom money is the ultimate thing. And the only thing they think about is money, and the only value they have is money. You as spiritual people know better. But you have to show it in a way that makes sense, that's balanced. Not by detaching, and going, woo-woo, we're better than you. This is, you know, bad you, good us. You know, that's the spiritual ego. Now, fortunately, all of you are past that, but you see plenty of people still doing that. And there still is a part of yourself, perhaps your young adult self, your younger personalities, who are still there, who found the spiritual path and said, yes, this is better. I'm better now. And you just, you know, you're going to need to just be loving with yourself, forgiving with yourself, and hold that resonance and dream. Dream for you, dream for the world. This is part of your gift. And you will receive much benefit from it if you will allow yourself. You will allow yourself at least to receive from the divine if you give. And at least that's at least that's phenomenal, all right? That's fantastic, okay? So giving and receiving, be clean. And you'll be fine. And you'll be supported. All will be well. Thank you.
So Steve has a comment. He says, this is great. Defining that I really have to join the collective to expand into my real acting career. Thanks and gratitude. And so the last question now is from Jay. In regards to prosperity momentum, would you please talk about the pendulum effect, where as we increase momentum, we cycle back and forth through positive and negative? Question, how do you stay conscious and experience both without getting stuck?
All right. Okay. Well, that's true. That's what we were tagging onto the concept of momentum, is because you move forward, and then the tendency, as your programming, old programming is, that as you move forward, you become expanded and you become more and you become more luminous, you separate more from the collective. And then when you separate more from the collective, then you get a challenge. Because it's from the collective that you receive everything. Well, not everything. I mean, you receive from the divine, but that's when you give to the collective. But the thing is that receiving money from receiving things, survival, support, you know, physical things, come all from the collective. They all come essentially from Mother Earth, filtered through the hands of people. Right? So in order to receive that, you know, you have to be connected. So when you grow spiritually and you disconnect and go to the next level, then it's like, well, you went above and beyond the collective again. Oh my gosh, now you have to reconnect to the collective. Or the collective will make you do that because it'll pull away your support because it won't see you. When you go beyond and pull away, in which you're doing automatically, subconsciously, you might say, you're pulling away. They don't see you. Nobody, they can't see you. You are beyond their level of reality. They don't see you. Okay? So you have to reconnect. Now, in order to know to reconnect, generally you get sent a test. And the test can come in your own negative thoughts and feelings. It can come in some kind of outer circumstance in where your project or what you're doing falls apart or slows down or you don't get business or whatever it is. There are many ways to get your attention that says, hey, you've disconnected. Get back into connection. And then most people have to go through all sorts of old mind talk, old programs about their relationship to the egregor, their relationship to the consensus. And just like we talked about in the very first seminar of this series, we talked about your relationship to money. We also mentioned your relationship to the egregor. And so we would suggest that you work more with being able to be okay with the collective. Be okay with it. Love it. Don't fear it. Some people are scared of the negativity. Some people are scared of the traditions and the control and the manipulation and domination and all sorts of stuff that happened in the collective, or being pushed and driven to money and so on. There's all these fears, but these fears all came from a program and a pattern that you inherited in the collective, and it's still dominant there, in which you are expected to belong to the collective as a subservient being, as a cog in the machine. And so you resist that as a spiritual being. So you've got to get over the old relationship that you have with your egregor, and maybe just do with your egregor what you did with money. Let go of all the dance around money, the issues around money, the judgments about people who have money, the judgments about how other people spend money or use money, or the judgments about how people make money and what damage they do just by making money, and obscene profit levels when their workers are starving, all sorts of things, all sorts of stuff that's out in the collective, all sorts of negative stuff about money. There's negative stuff about these people in the collective. And understandably, if you were powerless, you would not want to go and be part of the collective, and you would not want to engage with the collective. However, we highly suggest that you clear your relationship issue with the collective so that you can love everybody. Well, you're not forced to nurture and take care of everybody, but you want to love people. You want to love the human spirit. You want to enjoy the circus, the human circus, the drama, the play, and see it for what it is. It's a play. It's an illusion. It's a dance. People are suffering because they have chosen a destructive play, a painful play in which they are powerless, or the only way to have power is to have money and to dominate and manipulate others. Right? Of course, you don't want to go there. You don't want to be that person. But you want to have a harmonious love of people, of the world, regardless of what culture they are, what race they are, what religion they're in, what they believe, even the stinkers that do horrible things to other people. You've got to really be okay with all of them. That doesn't condone them. That doesn't encourage them energetically. It just means that you accept what is. And if you don't accept what is, how in the world can you change it? Because you'll run from it. You'll hide from it. Don't do that anymore. In order to get a momentum, in order to continue spiritually growing, and to get your momentum to go on and on and on, you want to get to the place to where your desire and your physical reality are in cahoots. For example, the channel used the, and we recommend this for anyone who wants to build a practice, the green candle ritual, a ritual that's on the links of resources on the Galexis Spirit website. If you go there, you will see the very first one is the green candle ritual. It is to get you into the frequency of money, into the connection of money, and it's a ritual in which you set yourself up to receive money. And the channel did it. She asked Lazarus in a private session. Lazarus gave her this in her private session. And she began doing it. And she wanted to start her astrology practice, when she maybe was doing one person every other week. Well, she decided, hey, why don't I build up a practice? Why don't I really get my practice going? So she would do this, and then she would get a whisper that it was working, in the sense she'd get somebody would call with interest about it, about a reading, but would not follow through. Okay, that's funny. Well, at least there's some energy out there. Yeah. It got to the point where every time she did the ritual, she'd get at least one reading. And so she got at one point, and then at one point she asked the archetypal magician. You know, if you do the tarot, the magician is right there with that at the very beginning, you know, holding the infinity, with the infinity sign, there's the magician. And so she asked the magician for 10 people, and damn it, she got 10 people and blew her energy through because she was doing only one or two a week at Thops. All of a sudden she did 10 and kind of exhausted her. So she, oh, wow, okay. And then went back to one or two. So she did the green candle, built it up slowly. If you build stuff slowly and deliberately and completely and thoroughly, you build a momentum. So gradually she built it up and built it up and built it up until she was making, at one point she was making $800 to $1,200 a week. She was working like a crazy maniac. And these are not in current money. If she were charging what she would charge now, she'd probably be making $2,500 a week, okay, doing astrology. And even at that time, people didn't make money like that doing astrology. That was just amazing. But she did burn out. But nevertheless, what she found was just enough and just right for her at the time was making $500 a week. Enough astrology to make $500 a week. The reason we're going into this is because once she got there and it was totally aligned and moving in momentum, she could have as many as she wanted. If she wanted to fill out all her slots of time possibilities and make a whole bunch of them, they'd be filled. If she needed a break, people would cancel, drop out, and so on. And she, okay, I got a break. And so she began to realize that her intention and her desire and what she really felt like doing and the reality was to be totally responsive. The green candle ritual got her to that connection so that she could make, without even thinking about it, at least her $500 a week. That was her bottom line. She didn't go under that. If she took a break, and then she went after 2 or 3 days, oh, I want to do some readings now. I want to get going. The phone would ring off the hook and they'd all pile up and she'd get back up there and it'd average out, $500 a week. And that, over time, she gradually built it up to where she wanted it or not. But you see, that has never gone away. She'll never go beneath $500 a week, even though now it's not $500, it's more like $800 or $900 or something. But she doesn't need to go under that ever again because she built up that momentum. Her identity is there, her image is there. If she got more, it wouldn't blow her image. Reality wouldn't get out too far, wouldn't be too big. She wouldn't be shrinking back. So that's what you want to aim for, is that you get your image, you get your engagement with money and your response with money, and you get your time all lined up. And you do it by repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. And getting the frequency up, getting it going, getting it up, getting it going, getting it up, taking action, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, after a while, you won't have to be concerned about it anymore. And then you can actually initiate new projects, change careers, et cetera, and you can switch that momentum energy over to another direction or another way. Now, you have to overlap it. You can't just stop this and then start that. You have to keep a momentum, but you can do it. And it makes life so much easier. And we think you can, you know, you can do it if you keep up the frequency. It's like a pulse. It's like it's like moving those wheels on the old locomotive. You just keep them going, keep it going, keep your channel greased, keep it going, keep it going. And in the process of it, you, as a spiritual being, are expanding and growing, and you're influencing on some intangible levels, but you're influencing your whole reality as well as yourself. You're creating a new world for you. And you can dream. You can dream big. Don't dream big because that's what big, rich, money men do. No. If you have a big dream, the big dream may not be out in the public at all. But dream your dreams. Don't be shy. Hold your resonance. Engage with your egregor. Receive from the world. And allow magic to unfold in a momentum for you. It's what it's meant to be. It's supposed to be easy. That's really what you came here to plug into and really get, okay, for your lives. You didn't come here to struggle. You've done a lot more than you needed to. But you came here to get that so that then you can create on the higher planes. That's where you're going. That's where you're heading. It's a new world. We're so glad to have spoken with you on these topics, and we're just wishing all of you the very best on these.